our teaching today is on faith forward. Faith forward. So I want you to just stand quickly because you've been sitting for a bit long now. And I want you to ask your neighbor a very simple question. Now, I know a lot of people are sitting next to family. I want you to ask, even if it's your family, do you think I can change? Now, for some family, I know it's going to be a contentious issue, but I want you to hold that thought. Turn to your other neighbor, if you've got somebody on the other side, and ask them the same thing. Do you think I can change? Now, more importantly, you can take your seat. I want you to hold your hands in front of you as a sign that that is you and ask yourself, can I change? And it is a very, very serious question that when you are self-reflecting, it's something that you should ask yourself. And so I take our Bible reading from Hebrews 10, verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but to those who have faith, to the preserving of the soul. Now at that point, so I took it forward to the New Testament, right? Hebrews. Now faith in Hebrews 11, now faith is the certainty of things hoped for and a proof of things not seen. Now when we go down to Hebrews 11, 17, that is where Pastor Adrian's message this morning, and I encourage everybody to go and watch it. We see Abraham as preached in this morning. So Pastor Adrian preached on Abraham. I'm going to take it a few years later, and I'm going to end off at verse 11:23, where we find Moses, and I will pick up the story there. But to pick up the Moses story, we have to now go back to the Old Testament, and we're going to go back to the book of Numbers, and specifically Numbers 13. But I thought that it wouldn't be good if I just proceed after telling you about faith, where faith is the certainty of things hoped for, but you don't see the evidence. Now, when you are a Christian, we don't ask you when you come to church, please leave your brains at the door. There are young people here. You question. When we were growing up, some of the stuff was, hey, you don't ask the past. You don't ask questions, but then you do not educate yourself if you do not ask difficult questions. And it is in seeking the answers that you yourself. Auntie Pam asked for a testimony, and so I thought it wouldn't be good if we didn't leave one. And so Pastor Adrian said that I should share this testimony that he received this week. Hi, Pastor. I hope you are well. Sorry for bothering your evening. I would like to share my testimony with you on God's faithfulness over. I struggled with the idea of tithing, especially with the financial difficulties. But this year, after receiving an unexpected increase at work, I made the decision to take a leap of faith and tithe my full 10%. During our time of consecration and fasting on Friday, something incredible happened. Earlier that day, I faithfully paid my tithe, still battling thoughts of whether I was making the right decision. But I chose to trust God. Later that same day, when I least expected it, I received news that I had won a large sum of money. I was overwhelmed and speechless, and in awe was faithful in my fast. But that wasn't all. I've been searching for a job and you with a law firm. Fall back immediately and start. Now, I think they spoke to Sister Pam because it says, I am reminded of Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to contain to store it. God truly provides and he rewards obedience. I am so grateful for his faithfulness and favor over my life and my family. Amen. What a testimony. So why do we give you testimonies? Because testimonies, somebody's story, can inspire your life. But we are not motivational speakers when we come up here. We are teaching the living word of God. And it's for each one of us to study this word that will propel you to your destiny. So when we pick up in Numbers 13, for those that don't know the story, Moses is to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt after they've been in slavery. And so 650 years before that, roughly, Abraham is made a promise by God and he says, I will make you a great nation. And what else did he tell him? I will put you in a wonderful land. 600 years prior. And now Moses, the generations that come after, 400 odd years after that, they lead the people out of Egypt and they are in the desert. And they are looking and heading for this promised land. And in chapter 13, when you go home and you read Numbers 13, can you imagine just hundreds of thousands of people walking? And you know, when you follow the study, there were 12 tribes in Egypt, and they all following and following. And they come to the desert Paran, and they stop. And Moses says, the Lord has told him that you must choose one strong man. So how many of us, when we're at work, they ask you, choose somebody from your team? Or if you had to go onto a TV show and they say it's a quiz, do you send the one from your family who doesn't watch TV? Just think about it. If Moses is asking for men to go and spy out the land, and in a lot of Bible illustrations, they call them the 12 spies. But they were actually 12 leaders. Because if you know that somebody has to go and walk about, say, between 600 and 800 kilometers is what they would have had to go in 40 days, are you going to choose somebody that doesn't have the strength, that's not fit? Okay. And then Moses gives them instruction. God is going to give us this land, but I need you to go and do some stuff. I need you to go and check and tell me, what is the land like? And check, are there nice fruit there? And tell me the people that live there. What do they look like? Check out the people. And then tell me their cities. Do they live in tents or is it fortified? Check these things out and come back and give us a report of what you see. So let me ask, do you think if a leader chooses 12 people to go, you're going to send somebody with the brain, right? If your boss at work gives somebody a task that's going to present to some top corporate, he knows what you have in you that you can do it, or he's going to ask somebody else. So Moses asked them this, And so they go out for 40 days and they return. And we pick up in verse 26, where they come back now after they've seen everything, and they come back to give a report of what they've seen, what they've experienced. But while they went out, they picked some grapes. And I mean, the grapes, apparently they had to tie it in a pole between two people. Can you imagine how big those grapes would have been if you have to just take a cluster of grapes that takes two people to carry it? I mean, the Woolies grapes in one hand, what, 80 rand in one hand? Two people to carry a cluster of grapes. So they come back and they give a report. And in when you go home, even the young people, you must read Numbers 13 all the way through and see what God, I know it's the Old Testament, but see how God is faithful all the way through. And what we need to do. I know there's a teaching of everything just comes to you. Just say it and believe it. But there's work to be done. And so they come back with the report, and they come back, and they came back to Moses in 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, I go to the market with my mother-in-law on Saturdays. Last week we went to the circle. When you look at fruit, how many of you stop? How many like mangoes? How many, when you stop at the side of the road and you buy the mangoes, what is the question you ask the lady? How much? Where is it from? Why? We know South Africa. Where would the best mangoes come from? Mpumalanga, Limpopo, KZN. Has to be KZN. KwaZulu-Natal. So what, if you look at the fruit, you must know something about the soil that it comes from. You must know, if this fruit looks good, tastes good, the farm it came from must be good. So now they see the evidence of the fruit and they say, wow, we show them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account in verse 27. We went into the land that you sent us and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. And then for some, verse 28, but the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the Anak there. They were the tribe of giants. You see, people of faith and people of fear see the same thing. It's not like you live in a different world. You come to the same job. One sees faith, one sees fear. And then the people with fear think that, but God favors Emil. God has a favorite. No, it is the faith that works through an individual. And so now they start casting doubt. But, how many of us are like that? How many of us know those people? Everything is good, but the school is doing well, the results are well, but we are short. And it's a mentality thing. So we say that people of fear and faith, they see the same thing. But you know, it is so mind-blowing that even Christian, we are Christian, but sometimes an incident would just change you from positive to negative. Life happens. And now we read, the Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Durbanites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Basically, they're saying, we hear the good stuff, but we can't get in there. They are all around. Negative stories have a tendency to just build on each other. Have you noticed when you are around negative people, they tend to like grow on you? So I have no problem with sister groups and all of that. But when you have a family, you have kids and all of that, and you hanging around with your sister group, and now you complaining about your husbands, and your sister group, half of them are divorced, they should not be encouraging you to leave your husband. Flee from negative groups, from groups at work that tell you, listen, yes, we get paid, they helped us through COVID, all of this, but nah, we're not happy. Stay away from negative groups. At university, if there's a cause, a justified cause, go for it. Don't fall into the enemy's trap. So quickly, things turn from positive to negative. And now we know that when you're in a negative space, mentally, everything goes against you. You know, the mind plays mind games on you. You don't look as beautiful as the other person at work. That's why you're not being promoted. Ah, but I'm not as good as him. I'm not as intelligent as that student. I can't achieve that result. And then we have to go to professional help. Then we have to go to psychologists. And then they're going to give us a theory. They're going to give us a self-reflection theory called THINK. They use the acronym THINK. The thought that's entering your mind, the T, is it true? Yeah, I don't think I'm doing very good at life. And I don't think anybody loves me. Then they'll tell you, no, but you must go deeper. Is it absolutely true that nobody loves you? And you say, no, it's not true. Then they'll take you to the H. Is it helpful? Does the thought help you in your daily life? No, it just makes me sad. Then they're going to ask you, is it inspiring? Does the thought inspire you? And you're going to be like, and it's not black and white, because you could say, you know what? I just sit at home. I don't do anything. It could inspire you to wake up and get a little bit active. Then they're going to ask you, is the thought in your life necessary? And finally, they're going to ask you, is the thought kind? And then you're going to get a bill for about 1,800 rand for that session about think, how to remove negative thoughts from your mind. But do you know, when you get into the Word of God, and I'm not against psychology or anything, if it's helping you, fantastic. But grow to a level where the Word of God will transform your life. And so they teach you this THINK principle. But Proverbs 23:7 teaches us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what should we be doing? We should be changing our environment. Who do we hang around? You know, Pastor Adrian this morning spoke about, have a community of faith that builds your faith, that encourages you. And you'll see here in verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. If he was a Zimbabwean, they would have named him Confidence. Because he said, we should go up, take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Don't you love an attitude like that when somebody's saying you can't, your child says, Dad, we can do it. We can do it. You see, fear will cause you to reject encouragement. Even when somebody, when Pastor Adrian comes and says, you can do it, fear will isolate you. It will keep you isolated to say, I can't. Everybody says I can't. It will keep you isolated. And fear will exaggerate a situation, and it will instill fear in even the people around you. How many of us can remember the pandemic? And we remember some people were even washing the canned foods before it came in the house. Washing the tin, the packets, changing your clothes outside. It was a time, and I point you to that, not lightly, because I know people were affected, but I point you to that because you remember how fear can grip your heart. How fear can grip a society. And then we come down and we read, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they explored. They said, the land we explored, it devours those living in it. You start exaggerating now. All the people we saw there of great size. All. They didn't see any kids. I don't know, the kids were born as big men. All the people of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak. Come from Nephilim, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. When you have a negative outlook on yourself, man, everything looks bad. You cannot compete. You don't match up to that person. I'm not as good as my brother. Everything becomes a poor self-image. And so we need to work on that. And so today I know that I told you I'm here to teach about faith. And you'll say, but Pastor, you're telling me only about fear. You see, the reason I teach you about fear is whatever you feed in your life is what will grow, and it's what will defeat your faith. If you cannot identify fear in your life, you got to identify it. You got to be honest with yourself and say, God, this part, I am fearful. I don't think I can do it. So why does fear actually exist? Because fear is a natural emotion, right? And you know, not all fear is bad. Because fear was created as a survival mechanism. When you go to the Kruger National Park, when you see lion or whatever, you don't just jump out the car and think it's a... Fear keeps you inside the car. It's a survival mechanism. Fear also teaches us, or it's a learning, it's for learning and adaptation. You tell a child, don't touch the flame because you're going to burn. When they touch it, they burn, they fear the flame. Fear is also there for social and cultural development. You don't speed on the highway at 200. Why? You fear the police. My sons used to say, but Dad, don't worry, the coke and chips. We follow the laws of the land. Then it is there for cognitive awareness. Unlike animals, humans can fear abstract things. We can fear failure. We can fear rejection. We fear death. But you see, though fear is essential, when it is excessive and irrational, it creates phobias. It will be harmful to you, to your soul. So all of our emotions, we have to learn how to control them. Now, when we learn about faith, what is faith? Faith is in the absolute trust in God. Faith is complete confidence in God's character, in His promises, and His plan. Even if there are uncertain circumstances. Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. It is the belief in Jesus Christ. Faith is the foundation of salvation, believing that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Acting on faith. True faith is not just belief, but also obedience to God's will. James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. Faith beyond what we see. Christians believe without needing physical evidence. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So fear will always exist. But the one that will win out in your life is the one that you feed. When we were much younger, in 2006, there was a lady that came to prophesy, or a prophetess at church. And she came to our house in Lakefield. And for the young crowd, I know you don't know what a cassette is. Basically, it was like what you would record on your phone. But she had a cassette and she put it in. And she recorded a prophecy that she prophesied over Natasha and I. At that time, I was employed at Kite Logistics as a account manager. And I don't know, Natasha, were you working at that time? Or you were at home? You were at home. She was at home. I think Malachi had just been born. And she prophesied that I would go to massive corporate companies. I would be advising directors. I would be advising people. We would have our own business. And she said, Natasha, you have the Midas touch. Anything you touch turns to gold. I said, please touch me, Natasha. And it was a prophecy. And I didn't understand it. I didn't really, to be honest, I didn't really believe it. But I took that cassette in my polo that I still have outside my house, my black polo. And I played that cassette every single day of my life driving to Kite. And in 2006, I played it the whole year. Nothing happened in 2006. I played it in 2007. Then I decided, no, I took it out the car. I kept it in my house. And I used to play it once in a while in our room. I used to play it for Natasha. And that word came to pass in 2009. When I went out and started my own business. And I tell you not to boast or to brag, but I advise guys like Adcock Ingram on their distribution. I had guys like Fresenius Kabi, the biggest multinationals. To this day, God has favored me with those directors that they phone me for advice, even if it is not for work, if it is for their personal lives. I had a client of mine, I used to phone him, and I used to go sit with him to give him marriage counseling. But it is a faith. It is a faith that I want to teach my children. Malachi, in his matric year when he was applying, he was stressed. He said, Dad, the systems don't work for me. And the quota systems, I will not get in. And I remember sitting him down. And I said, Malachi, let me tell you something. You need to do your part. You study. God cannot, if you don't produce the results that open the door for you, you cannot get in for medicine. And I said, when you do your part, you trust God. That whoever looks at your application, God is above the systems of the world. He controls the hearts and minds of kings. That when your faith is activated, God works on your behalf. And so There was a morning, he wasn't too happy with his results. And I was a bit disappointed as a parent. He got the A's, but he wanted all A's. And I'll never forget, I was sitting on a Friday morning speaking to one of my clients. And I said, you know, my son really wants to get into medicine, so we trust in God. He's an unbeliever. And he told me, you know, the unbelief will always say, yes, it's really hard to get in. You know, I had a niece. She got all A's and she still never got into medicine. He's not encouraging my faith. And so, as he's saying this, I go onto the portal, the WITS portal, and I see an acceptance letter. So I tell my client, listen, I'm going to have to call you back. I just got a acceptance letter for my son. I need to call him. And so he was sleeping. I phoned his mom. I said, wake him up. God has come through for us. And so why do I tell you story after? And I can sit with you for many hours and I can share my personal, not other people's testimonies. I'll share my own testimonies of where I was at an accident and I was shot, not a bone broken. I can share testimonies of where I went over the mountain pass in Swaziland, not a bone broken. I can share testimony after testimony about the faithfulness of God. But I bring you back to this story. That there were two who had faith. Joshua and Caleb. And the other 10, no faith. So the majority will not believe what you believe. You see, fear has a strange thing. Fear makes you forget. Do you know that? Do you know these same people that were in the desert? God brought the same people. He split the ocean for them to come through. He created a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. 6 days of the week, He provided manna. They forgot. They still, when He said, you will have this land, they still doubted. How many of us sitting here today? God talks to us. He promises stuff to us. We doubt. Our man of God comes week after week. He says, you can do this. We doubt. And so, the important lesson from Joshua and Caleb, have a heart of gratitude. Don't forget God's promises. Grow and move forward. How do you grow? Read the Word. Encourage yourself with the Word. Surround yourself with people of the Word. Surround yourself with friends who encourage you rather than bring you down. Have courage and be bold. Change your self-esteem. Look at it. Whatever steps you need to do. If you're not happy with the way you look, start training. Start with the walk. If your health is not good, speak to your body, change your diet. Those things don't need faith, they need action. Once you take the action, God can work on your action. When He sends you, what do you see? I see it, Lord. He says, it is yours. Once you see it, you believe it. Then you hold on to His promise. God, I am doing everything you said I should do. Now healing, come to my body. Have a different spirit. Caleb had a different spirit. Don't be like everybody at work. When everybody's complaining, now you join in to complain. Have a different spirit. But most of all, be God dependent. Why is it that God said, Jesus said, you can do nothing without me? I know, we pray every day, you don't need God for everything. Why did He say, without me you can do nothing? Because in our own strength, we can do nothing that has eternal consequence. You see, we get so caught up in the earthly realm, we forget that we're actually living for the afterlife. But He will still make it good here. But do things for your life that have an eternal consequence. Change your family's destiny forever. For kids here, that you come from impoverished families, you come from where you think it's the color of your skin, God don't work on BEE. When you are a child of God, He favors you. White, black, colored, Indian, Chinese, Japanese, Nigerian. God created the entire world. You think He's worried about race? The devil is a liar. He traps us. He traps our thinking. He limits us to think that because of the color of our skin, we cannot achieve. The devil is a liar. But God will need some action from us. He will need to take what He's given you inside of you. The skills that He's given inside of you. The wisdom that is inside of you. Children at school, you cannot not study and expect good results. Put in the time, put in the effort. When you do not understand a concept, ask for help. People all over the Bible use their best. The best teachers are here. You ask for help. We have no excuse but to succeed in this life. A life that God has given us of faith that we will see the prize one day. The ultimate prize is that each one of us, we will lead our children to Christ, our friends to Christ. Not one will be left behind. When Pastor Wasim comes in, 10,000 souls, some must be counted against your account.